We have been focusing on, over the last several weeks, a series of lessons called Here Am I, Send Me. And it is founded in Isaiah's commission, where God had a message to give to the Israelite people, a message that he was going to punish them because of their disobedience. But within that message also was a message of hope that he had kept for himself a remnant. And in that commission, God says, who will go for us and whom shall I send? In other words, who's going to go give this message? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. People today need to hear the same message. Okay? There is a message of destruction. Christ is coming back and everything in this world is going to be destroyed. But there's also a message of hope that those who belong to Christ will be saved through all of that and have eternal life with him. Same question then is asked, who will go, whom shall I send? Will we, each and every one of us, say in response, here am I, send me. We started out in this series of lessons talking about the idea that, you know, there's a lot of things that need to be done, and oftentimes we look at those things that need to be done and we say, well, somebody else will do that. And the problem is that oftentimes nobody does it, so it doesn't get done. And so part of this is the evangelistic side, as we've been focusing on people in our Jerusalem who are kind of like the folks that we're studying. We're looking at different biblical people and trying to see, okay, what was going on with them? What was their need? And how did Jesus meet their need? And who do I know in my Jerusalem or my Judea that's like them? And will I be one to say, here am I, send me, that I will go to that person and try to reach them for the Lord? The other part of it is, as I see other things just, you know, that need to be done, am I willing to be the one to go and do what needs to be? Today, in our series of lessons, we're going to be talking about Simon Peter. Let's look at Simon Peter for a little bit. Now, I don't know about you, but of all the different people that we read about in the Bible, I consider myself to probably be most like Peter. Okay? And the reason is because Peter is one of those people who just is very impulsive, kind of, jumps into things sometimes without thinking about, what he's doing and what's going to happen and so forth. I'm kind of sometimes that, well, I can do that kind of thing. And then I afterwards I get into it and go, I guess I can't. I remember one time where this friend of mine and I, we were, and I may have told you about this, we were working on his car. And now, I do not know a whole lot about working on cars, okay? But somehow the two of us got together and convinced ourselves that we could fix his car. And it had to do with the front end, the axle on the front end of his car. And so we had that thing jacked up in my driveway, and we're working on it, and we pulled, and the whole axle came out. And both of us went, whoops. You see? And so then what happened was, I called a friend of mine who owns his own garage, okay, and I said, I need you to come over and get this car and fix it for us, because we've kind of messed it up. But, you know, I don't know if you're like that or not at times in your life where you see something, you go, oh, I can tackle that, and you jump in, and that's kind of the way Peter was. Sometimes impulsive. I think of Peter's life sometimes as kind of like a roller coaster. When in terms of Peter's faith, and this I think is perhaps more why I feel like I'm like him, because if you look at, and we're going to mention a couple of different events in Peter's life, it's like, you know, there are times when Peter is really high in his faith is strong, and then at times that he goes right down to the bottom and his faith is tanked down. And again, I don't know about you, but I know about myself in that way, that sometimes my faith can be just like that, up and down, up and down. For instance, when Peter was first called by Jesus, Luke records for us in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, where Jesus was teaching the people. There's a large crowd of people, and they're pressing in on him. And so there were some boats and fishermen there, and Jesus got into one of the boats, one owned by Peter. He got into the boat and asked him to push out a little bit from the shore, and he sat there in the boat, and he taught the people from the boat. And after he was finished teaching, he told Peter, he says, put out into the deeper water and let your nets down for a catch. And Peter said to Jesus at the time, Lord, we've been fishing all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, we'll let down the nets for a catch. So he did. Luke tells us that they caught so much fish they couldn't even haul in the net. They had to call their partners in the other boat to come out and help them. And they filled both boats, Luke says, to the point of sinking. And it's at that point that Peter, Luke says, fell to his knees and he said, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. And here, I think, is a point where we see Peter at the highs and the lows real quickly. You ever been there? Mm-hmm. At 1 minute saying, you know, Lord, I'm a fisherman. And basically, that's what he's saying. I'm a fisherman. I've been fishing all night long. I haven't caught anything. I know what I'm doing, but because you say so, I'll do it. And then a few minutes later, Lord, go away from me. I'm too sinful to be in your presence. In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus had been teaching the people. He had just fed this crowd of over 5,000 people. And he sent the disciples out in the boat ahead of him. He went up on the mountain to pray. And after some prayer time, he looked out, and the boat was out away from the shore, and it was buffeted by the winds and the waves, and the disciples were out there doing everything they can to row against the wind. And Jesus walked out to the disciples on the water. And when they first saw Jesus, they thought it was a ghost, and they were afraid, Matthew tells us. And Jesus said to them, don't be afraid, it's I. And then here's Peter, okay, in that impulsiveness, all right. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out on the water too. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, have you ever thought about, you know, how little Peter thought about that statement? Okay? Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out on the water. And Jesus said, come on. Here's that roller coaster again. Tremendous amount of faith that would have said, first of all, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out and walk to you on the water. How many of us would have done that? I'd have been like the other 11 sitting there going, oh, what are we going to do? Who in their right mind would think that they could get out of the boat and walk on the water? But Peter had that much faith. But then as he's walking on the water, tells us that he noticed the wind and waves, and he took his eyes off of Jesus. And he began to sink. And he cried out to the Lord, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached out his hand and took Peter and pulled him up, and they got into the boat. And Jesus said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? I don't think that Jesus was referring to Peter saying, Lord, tell me to come out from the water. That took a lot of faith, but it wasn't continual faith. Because when he was distracted, saved. Amen. Matthew chapter 16. Jesus gathered with his disciples and he asked them a question. Who do people say that I am? And they said, well, some say that you're Elijah or one of the prophets, and some say John the Baptist. And Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? And it was Peter who made the declaration, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow. What a declaration of faith. At that point, recognizing and confessing who Jesus is. Because of that great faith, Jesus rewarded Peter's faith by giving him the keys to the kingdom. And then we see in John chapter 13, Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. He comes to Simon Peter. And Peter says to the Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Never going to wash you. Jesus says to him, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then wash not just my feet, but my whole body, basically, is what he's saying. Let you do it, Lord. Not my feet. Use it to allow Jesus to do this service. And then, not very long after that, there's a lot of other examples, but these are just a few I wanted to point out. We see Jesus with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane when the soldiers come and Judas there to betray him. To arrest Jesus, and what does Peter do? He takes out a sword and he strikes the servant of the high priest, a man by the name of Malchus, and he cuts off his ear. I don't know about you, but that would require a tremendous amount of faith. I mean, the guy is a fisherman. Have you ever wondered why he had a sword to begin with? He's a fisherman. You've got all these soldiers that have come to arrest Jesus. And Peter takes out a sword and he's ready to fight to save Jesus. And Jesus says to him, put away your sword. Up and down. Up and down. That. All of the highs and lows that Peter experienced in his faith, there was one that I would suggest to you is the lowest of lows. I don't think that he ever got any lower than this. In Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 31, Jesus says to all of his disciples, as they had gone from the dinner to the Mount of Olives, he says, you will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered him, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same. Jesus told them beforehand what he was going to do. It's interesting that in Luke's account, Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, Jesus says this to Simon. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon. And when you return, strengthen your brothers. Peter was told beforehand that his faith would go so low, it would be so weak that he would deny Jesus not once, twice, but three times. Again, in Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 69. Matthew says to us, now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, you also were with Jesus the Galilean. But he denied it before them, saying, I do not know what you mean. And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied it with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you. Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know the man. His accent gave him away. He was a Galilean. He didn't fit in, even amongst his own people. He didn't fit in because of his accent. We know how that is, right? You know, when someone from the north, those Yankees come down here, we can tell. You're not from around here, are you? When I go up to the north, they go, you're not from around here, are you? Right? Because we talk a little bit different, don't we? And that's what was happening to Peter. They knew he wasn't from around there. They knew he was a Galilean because of his accent. And they connected him to Jesus. They're one of him. They're one of his followers. And Peter, three times, the last time calling curses on himself, he utterly denied that he knew who Jesus was. And then there's the look. The look is what I call it. I don't know what else to call it. Because what it tells us is that the rooster crowed and Jesus turned and looked straight at Peter. And Peter went outside and he wept. I doubt, very seriously, that Peter ever in his life forgot that look. You know the look, right? You know the look. You got it from your mama or from your daddy when you were a kid, and you've probably given it to your kids, right? Because you know that's all it takes sometimes is that look. To say a word. All it takes is the look. If you go and ask my kids today, they'll tell you, oh yeah, Dad had a look. I don't think Peter ever forgot that moment when everything that Jesus had told him was going to happen, happened. He denied that he even knew.
just that he was a follower of Jesus, but that he even knew him. But I suggest to you that that look is probably part of what propelled Peter to be as zealous for the Lord as he was. And then finally, we turn over to the text that was read for us earlier in John chapter 21. And what we find happening here is that this is after Jesus' resurrection. He's already appeared to the apostles at least twice. And Peter decides that he's going to go back to fishing. Jesus is gone. They don't know exactly what to do with themselves. And so he goes back to fishing. That's what he was a fisherman. And then there's this man that appears on the shore. And he hollers out to them, "Have you caught anything?" And they holler back, "No, nothing." And Jesus says, "Lower your nets on the other side of the boat." And they did. John tells us that they brought in so much fish that they could hardly carry it all. Nets were full. They recognized that it was Jesus. And John tells us that when one of the other disciples said, "It's Jesus," Peter wrapped his garment around him and he jumped into the water. He wanted to get to Jesus as fast as he could. By the time the other disciples had gotten the boat in and pulled it up, and there was Jesus and had a fire going and some fish on the fire, and he says, bring some of the fish that you caught. And they sat there and they had a meal together. And then Jesus had a conversation with Peter. He said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Now, there's a lot of speculation, a lot of question among scholars as to what he meant by these. Okay? And I think there's three possibilities. One, do you love me more than these men love me? Another one is, do you love me more then you love these men? And the other possibility is, do you love me more than these things? That is, the boat and the nets and all the stuff that goes along with fishing. I don't really know for sure which one he meant by these. But I think the two strongest possibilities is, first of all, do you love me more than these men love me? We already saw how Peter declared that though everyone else would leave you, I will never leave you. But we also know that Peter went back to fishing. Whichever one it is, there's a challenge here for Peter in that. "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You feed my sheep." Peter, do you love me? "Well, yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "Take care of my lambs." "Peter, are you my friend?" There's another whole study that we could go into about the word for love that's used here. John uses them. Each time that Peter said, "I love you," he's using the word phileo, where Jesus is in the first two times using agape. And the third time he just uses the word phileo. "Peter, are you my friend?" Peter says, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep." Three times
Jesus gave Peter the opportunity to declare his love for Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm convinced that it's three times and he has the opportunity to overcome the three denials that he gave of Jesus. In other words, I believe that this is Jesus' gentle rebuke of Peter, but it's also a restoration of him. Peter needed to be confronted, in a sense, with what he had done. But he needed to be restored. He needed to feel that Jesus still loved him. And I think that that's what Jesus was doing, was giving him that opportunity. Not just once, not just twice, but three times. To be able to declare that he loved Jesus. And with that, then Jesus gives him a task to do. Peter, I got something for you to do. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. Of course, lambs would represent young Christians that really needed a lot of care. They need nourishment. Sheep are older, but they still need nourishment. And they need shepherding. They need guidance and care. And that's what Jesus was tasking him to do. In other words, it might be as if he's saying to him, the time for fishing is over. It's time for you to start taking care of my sheep. I don't want you going back to the boat or nothing. Because I've got work for you to do. You know anybody like Peter besides me in your Jerusalem? You know anybody who maybe is impulsive, perhaps maybe even reckless at times in their life? You know anyone who perhaps makes bold claims but fails to follow through on those? Do you know anyone who perhaps needs restoration because of some monumental failure in your life? I want you to think about the people in your Jerusalem, the people in your Judea. What are you going to do with the Peters in your life? Will you, like Isaiah, say to the Lord, here am I, send me. Tom has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. What's the number again?
639.
Number 639. We use that as an opportunity for anyone to be able to come and let us know what may be going on in your life that you need prayer for. Maybe something really great going on in your life that God has blessed you with. You want to share with us? You want to know about those things too? It's a great opportunity for anyone to be able to come and to say, I'm ready to give my life to Christ and become a Christian. If you're not a Christian already, now's a great opportunity for you to become a Christian. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then confess Him as Lord. Repent of the sin that's in your life. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. You don't have to wait. Dale is not here today because he's not feeling very well. But I'll be here right up front to receive anyone. Everybody come up. Let's stand together and sing.